Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. My name is Daryl, and today I'm very excited to be joined by Alex Nazarevich, who is a results-driven marketing and e-commerce leader and the VP of Growth at Unbounce. As a self-proclaimed data nerd, he is obsessed with digging into a company's business model to pull out the insights that help to build a profitable marketing machine. As well as helping to grow B2B SaaS businesses like Unbounce, Alex has extensive experience across a variety of businesses such as Indochino, Best Buy, and Hootsuite. Alex loves mentoring and develop digital leaders in how they can translate data into dynamic stories that build brands and drive sales. In the past, he has learned his unique voice and insights to a host of marketing webinars and podcasts such as Metric Stack and Unprompted AI Marketing and You. When he's not growing brands through data-driven insights, Alex can be found growing his collection of houseplants, of which he has over 20, hanging out with his dog, or hitting the local trails in his beautiful hometown of Vancouver, BC. Alex, welcome to Marketing News Canada. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hey, Daryl. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's quite the background, but I would love to learn a little bit about your background in terms of marketing. What's your origin story? How'd you get involved?
Yeah, I would say I kind of fell into marketing for the right reasons, and then it ended up being a happy coincidence that I really liked it, because what I thought marketing was going to be is nowhere near what it was in reality. So when I was in university, I was trying to pick between finance and marketing, and I was like, marketing sounds like way more fun. Like, you're going to get to work on all these flashy ad campaigns and none of the mathematical rigor of finance. So I can pick marketing. And of course, as you can probably guess, digital marketing, of course, is so data driven and so mathematically rigorous to some degree. But it ends up being one of my favorite parts of the job. So I sort of tricked myself into a very data driven career. Yeah.
Very well done. So out of university, where'd you go? And kind of what was your first kick of the can when it came to marketing?
Yeah, oh my goodness. So I graduated in 2009, and it was like it was the recession. There were really not a lot of jobs. I remember like scrolling through Craigslist looking for marketing contracts and maybe one of the, like anything I could do essentially to start building my resume. And, I remember at the time, digital marketing wasn't really a thing. It was almost like one part of one unit of one class I was in.
Oh yeah.
Now, of course, you can get like a whole degree in it, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that before. So I essentially highlighted skills in like paid media, social media, like search engine optimization, and really started taking on contracts until I could get myself to a place where I could get like a full-time, like real, big kid office job essentially.
You became like a super digital generalist, as a lot of us did out of university.
Exactly. I feel like, yeah, like we were the cohort of like, yeah, digital generalists, and that was, our entry into the market. So I'd say like where it all clicked for me though, was when I started working at Best Buy. So that was probably, that was like my first real like full-time in office digital marketing kind of job.
Nice.
I worked on the e-commerce team. So it was really more focused on what we were doing on the website and working in tandem with the marketing team. But yeah, so I actually remember when it clicked for me specifically. So, I mean, Best Buy's website's huge, right? And each of us was assigned to a different subcategory of products on the site. Me being more junior, I had a smaller category, but we still had sales targets to hit. So the main page into the category, I think it was like DVDs and music or something like that back, back when that was a thing. And the homepage looked really good and seemed to be working well to get people clicking into the category. But we hadn't touched it in a long time. Like it had gone maybe months without any updates or anything. And I thought, you know, I'm going to give this a shot. So I came up with an alternative headline, came up with some different, you know, CTAs, for the main page and, you know, hit publish. And we're like, all right, well, let's see what happens. And, it was pretty interesting. I mean, almost immediately we bumped up our sales in that category by a couple thousand dollars per week.
Oh, wow.
Which was, you know, in the grand scheme of bestbuy.ca is pretty small, but it was really exciting for me. And I was like, wow, it really like hits home. It's not just about the product you're selling and the price. It's like, what are you telling people? How are you positioning it? And that like, that glued that concept together for me. And yeah, the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear about how you found yourself where you are now as the VP of growth at Unbound. So from Best Buy, where did you go?
Right. So I'd say my full career, I've sort of jumped between e-commerce and like B2C focused digital marketing, and cool. then like really the SaaS industry and like really B2B focused. And you know, I think a lot of us have done that in the digital marketing space because it's a very transferable skill set. And I think that you learn very complementary ways of thinking about the business, right?
Yeah.
So from Best Buy, I went to work at Hootsuite on the demand generation team.
Nice.
And that was really exciting. It was like very fast paced, very like cutting edge environment and like streams of
which
data.
Hootsuite office did you work at?
I was briefly in HQ1 and then our team got moved over to HQ2 when they opened it.
Okay. Awesome. I've been to those offices many times. It's great. Sorry. That's why I didn't mean to cut you off there. Okay. So who's
no, HQ2 is the one with the AstroTurf on the floor.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So then from Hootsuite that opened your opportunities up. You've met some really amazing people there. And then how did you transition over to Unbounce?
Yeah, so I went through a couple of other companies, but essentially I worked my way up into more of like Hootsuite was fun. It was really fast paced. I learned a lot. I felt maybe a little bit out of my depth, and I kind of missed the I missed a little bit about Best Buy basically, and like that e-commerce bug essentially. So I worked my way into another e-commerce role and then eventually found myself as like the director of digital operations for BC Cannabis. So when cannabis was legalized,
awesome.
Sort of like how we've got the government liquor stores in British Columbia, you know, we've got the government cannabis stores now. So I started right before legalization and then found myself in charge of the website, the marketing and the customer service team. So it was pretty cool.
What a time to be involved there. That's great. a lot of learnings quick, I bet.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. But, at the end of the day, really exciting time, but then also dialing it back. It's like you're selling a product that's not legal in all the systems that you're using to market it. So we essentially started running Google Ads and then got banned from Google Ads like 30 minutes later. So lots of stories like that. But it was really exciting bringing a product to the public that was like, people were acquiring illegally before, people wanted a way to do so legally and educating them about, you know, safe consumption essentially. So that was fun. And then from there I worked as the director of e-commerce and then vice president of growth at Indochino.
Nice. Okay. Awesome. Wow. You've literally transitioned through like Vancouver's best of the best and most innovative companies. That's really awesome.
Yeah. Very on brand for BC. Indochino, Hootsuite, Cannabis.
Yeah. and then Unbounce. And then I feel like after this, it's got to be like Aritzia and Lululemon. And then you've got like the gauntlet of the Thanos Vancouverite marketing gauntlet.
Exactly. Collecting those local legend trophies, as it were. Yeah.
Okay, well, now that you're at Unbounce, so I'd love to kind of get into your knowledge here a little bit and your experience here. So can you break down really quickly what are the core elements of a good e-commerce campaign for our listeners?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I would say that's a really interesting question because it's changed so much over the years, but I think the fundamentals are still there.
Yeah.
And if anything, are more important. Like you think back to 10 years ago, I realize this is going way back, but like it was like zero interest rates, unlimited marketing budgets, like aggressive growth at all costs, snuff out the competition type marketing. And like that just doesn't fly anymore. So I think for me, the sign of a really successful campaign is like you've got to start with a clear understanding of who your customer is. But then even more than that, you've got to understand how are they interfacing with your marketing specifically. And I think that really hasn't changed, but the fact that we're facing, you know, sort of flat or stagnating marketing budgets, increased CPAs, you know, paid search isn't what it used to be. Third-party data is deprecated, which is good for you as a citizen, but is wild for us as digital marketers, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to you really have to be on top of your game and understanding who you're trying to talk to and really speak their language and really speak their language and give them value before they're even thinking about buying your product. They have to feel that you're a safe brand to shop with. And they've got to have that confidence, especially if they're buying from you online. More and more brands have an online only presence, that everything that you're putting out there shows this is a legit brand. This matches my values. This matches who I am. Like I'm buying into a piece of either me or who I want to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are sort of high level. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, this is I feel that from the understanding of your audience through translating that into great creative, great messaging, going into your sales funnel, and then we're at the lower in the conversion funnel, and we're getting to the point where people are making a decision on whether or not they want to buy your product or service. When it comes down to A/B testing of creative, of messaging. Can you shed a little insight and wisdom for our listeners?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess the way I would think about the lower funnel is the landing page is the nexus of everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
All of your content marketing, all of your paid ads, all of your owned, earned, paid media should be converging on this nexus of what is your brand. And it's funny because we spend a lot of time on our websites, but counterintuitively, the homepage of your website is actually causing you to lose customers.
Yeah.
And that's something that we love to say a lot at Unbounce. But what we mean by that is it's targeting everyone. It's got to be a one size fits all. It's got to be a catch all for everybody that you may be bringing, into the fold.
Mm-hmm.
With each of your landing pages, they can be super targeted, subsegment by subsegment of customer. You can have customized messaging, personalized messaging that resonates with very specific slices of the demographics that you're targeting. And that in turn allows you not to be all things to all people, but allows you to basically be that aspirational brand to that segment of your audience. And then, you were talking about A/B testing. I backed all the way up on that question.
I needed that. Thank you. Yeah.
And I guess that's part of it is, as I said, you can know your customer in great detail. You can basically essentially skinwalk them. You could breathe the same air, say the same things, get fully into their head. And that doesn't do you any good unless you have a really acute understanding of how what you're saying and how you're positioning yourself interfaces with who they are. And that's where A/B testing comes in. And I guess what I mean by that is you have an idea of what these people like, but you're not them. And you really need to validate how does your marketing stack up versus what they're looking for. So, a landing page is kind of a natural place to do that. And it's a very easy place where you can run, testing on different elements of your page. You can have different versions of the page going. You can add elements of dynamic personalization and otherwise just throw a bunch of different elements together really quickly to find the best possible combo, to unlock that improvement in your conversion rate.
I mean, this is a great time for you to give me a quick little 30-second spiel on what it is Unbounce does and allows marketers to do, because I mean, from an A/B testing perspective, I think, you know, unless you have access to a tool like Unbounce, it really is just time and money that you're not wasting, but could be spending more efficiently with your guys' platform. So just give me the quick little elevator pitch of what Unbounce allows marketers to do really quickly. Like a lot of our listeners are businesses, brand owners, entrepreneurs. So I think your service would be perfect for them.
Yeah, for sure. So Unbounce got its start selling a landing page building solution. And I think that's still one of the things that I first discovered about Unbounce and became kind of an Unbounce fanboy, eventually got to work here. Nice. And it's still one of the core pieces of our business offering to this day. But we really see our mission as like helping marketers grow smarter. And we kind of mean that in two ways. So there's like this idea of growing your business smarter, growing more efficiently, which we need to do in this marketing climate, right? Mm-hmm. And we do that through tools like, well, sure, landing page builders, but like starting to build your own landing pages is part of it. But it's really about, it's about testing, it's about personalization, it's about all the other elements that we pack into that let you as the marketer really like get in the driver's seat. You don't have to work with your IT team. You don't have to work around some of the, you know, built-in intricacies of building a separate standalone marketing page in Shopify or WordPress. It's built for you as a marketer, for you to update, for you to optimize and to personalize to the needs of your audience and yourself. And then the other thing we mean by like growing smarter is like making you better as a marketer, like helping you grow smarter as a digital marketing expert. And I'd like to think that, you know, a lot of our marketing, a lot of our content is really centered around that motto as well.
Yeah, that accessibility for digital marketers is huge for your company. I think watching Unbounce grow throughout the years, it's always been something that I see that's pretty at the forefront of your guys' core messaging and the solutions you guys are providing. So awesome and really happy to know that, you know, someone that works there has, obviously at your level, has that kind of commitment to it as well and excitement.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
I'd love to kind of back away from your day to day, but you know, I know that you are you've lent your voices to podcasts, and especially, you know, I've explored some of the AI marketing world, which is super interesting. And I mean, when I say ever evolving, that's like an understatement. But I would love to glean some insight from you. You know, as a junior or intermediate marketer trying to sharpen their AI marketing skills, what kind of resources or where would you point them to kind of like sharpen their skills or you know, utilize tools that will help them use the advantage of what AI has to offer in marketing?
For sure. I mean, listen, shameless plug for Unbounce's podcast. We started a podcast last year called Unprompted, which is our AI marketing podcast. And we interviewed a whole bunch of people like agency owners, professors, like, cool. And just other marketing experts who are at the forefront of incorporating AI into their marketing lives and also like where it's going. That's one specific example, but I have to say just getting out there in like the general, what I call like the general marketing ecosystem, there's a lot. I think that one of the ways the brands have changed over the years is there's generally more willingness now, especially in MarTech companies, to really get into the shoes of their customers and really provide them with those tools. So again, a lot of what we do is around things like eBooks and webinars and like actually giving concrete tips on how you can grow as a marketer, especially in the context of AI coming and disrupting like everything that we do in our day-to-day lives, right?
Yeah. Pause. Personally, are you scared of anything when it comes to AI, specifically in marketing, right? You and I are similar age. We grew up, yeah. You know, we both got our smartphones in university. Social media became a thing in university. And marketing, we've clawed marketing budgets into digital for the last 10 years from traditional marketing. So, we have a shared background, but looking forward with AI MarTech companies completely innovating and breaking what's been the standard again, is there anything that scares you when it comes to AI marketing or utilization of AI marketing? Is there anything that scares you about the industry, about where it's going? Would love to tap into that a little bit.
I would say, I know that some people see AI as potentially running us over a cliff and that like humanity is going to get ourselves, you know, stuck in a doom loop. So I'm not necessarily scared of that. I suppose that, maybe it could happen, but, so far out of my direct control that, I try not to think about that too much, but I'm actually worried about something like way more day to day for us marketers. Mm. I'm almost worried about the collapse of like innovation and marketing. I feel like it's gotten easier than ever to like whip together, like, here's my customer segment. Here's what I'm trying to write. Here's the length of it. Here's like the start, middle, end. Here's the message I'm trying to get over. And next thing you know, you've got like, every company's got the same email nurture flow, got the same activation flow, got the same marketing emails, got the same ads that are built, you know, with the same look and feel.
Yes.
But then again, you think back 10 years and again, a lot of companies coming up through the 2010s did have a very similar brand voice and like, you know, that sort of generic, slightly casual, kind of quirky, friendly, approachable SaaS brand voice. So I don't know if my fears are unfounded or if we have always been very good at imitating each other. But again, it just comes down to like, as a marketer, you still need a vision of where you're going. You still need a very strong brand point of view. Otherwise, you're not going to stand out from the pack. That's my biggest fear.
That's perfect. And that you honestly explained that better than I could have myself. That's exactly kind of what I was hoping to hear, the collapse of innovation and, well, collapse with my, our viewers can't see us do the fingers, but the collapse of innovation here. So personally, another personal question for you, what kind of trends are you seeing in marketing and brands that you love to follow? Brands that you consume, brands that you case study. I'd love to understand if you're noticing any trends there.
Yeah. Okay. I might be repeating myself a bit from earlier, I think there's a bit of a pivot toward quality. And what I mean by that is I feel like people are getting, marketers are getting a lot better, a lot more intentional about like, who am I actually targeting? It's not really just like, if Unbounce were to say our audience is marketers age 18 to 35 in North America, like that would be far too broad. We have very specific, you know, personas that we adhere to. And based on the caliber of marketing I see coming out of a lot of companies, especially in the SaaS industry, I would say a lot are doing the same. And what that means is we're getting like more unique brand voices. Like I feel like when I'm getting marketed to, I can feel it's not even so much who's behind the wheel in terms of the marketing efforts. I can feel like, is this meant for me, or is this meant maybe for someone more in a RevOps role, maybe for someone more in a sales role? And you feel that in like the language choices, like the look and feel, like color, like everything, right? And I also feel there's a bit more willingness to be generous with like what we know. Mm-hmm. I think that Unbounce has built a lot of, you know, our reputation on being marketing experts and having fun with it and like being very generous with the knowledge that people internally have acquired. And I think a lot of companies are doing that now too. Like when I put my email in for an ebook, it doesn't feel super transactional like a lead gen. I mean, sure it is, and I know I'm gonna get spammed by the sales team where there's a risk of that, but I know that what I'm downloading is very helpful and may actually have an impact on like the way I think about retention marketing or the way that I think about how I've structured my paid media spend. Like I know that there's a nugget of good info there, and it makes me in turn a lot more willing to engage with other companies' marketing content.
I love that. I know that you do some mentoring and you have done some mentoring in the past, but I'd love to flip that question on you in terms of who you've looked to as a mentor and people that you may have talked to kind of help you through your professional and personal journey. Do you have any mentors yourself, and who are they?
Yeah, for sure. I think the top one that comes to mind for me is Peter Housley, who was our chief revenue officer at Indochino, and he actually hired me there and was also our CMO for a time at Unbounce, and he hired me here. So aside from like being a crucial part of my career development, I think that, you know, Pete and I kind of see marketing from the same perspective. Like he's got a very data forward approach. He's very fast paced, kind of no nonsense. And I think for me, one of the things that he really opened my eyes to was how you can't kind of have it both ways. Like I used to think of marketing as like, oh yeah, brand marketing is over here, growth marketing is over there. And like, you know, the two barely meet in the middle, but you've got to kind of force it. And like, that's so not how he looks at it. It's, to Pete, it's more of like a spectrum and more of a holistic endeavor. Like if you're not doing a proper caliber of brand marketing, there's only so much you can do in growth, and vice versa. If you're not harvesting that demand you're creating, there's only so much more you can do in the world of brand. And so it really helped me think of marketing as more of like a whole system, as opposed to just like, here's a funnel that I'm trying to cram as many leads down as possible, which we know is a very outdated way of thinking.
It is. I miss those days though. The Wild West days when it came to,
There was an element of ruthlessness to it. It was fun.
Do you remember back? I don't know if you remember when like there was no follow limits on Instagram when it first came out. And like there were a couple of Vancouver brands I know that like sat around and followed like a million people in a 4-hour session and got like 400,000 followers. So I miss those good old days, the Wild West digital marketing days. Hey,
I totally forgot about that. And now that you bring it back, yes, that Instagram was wild. Instagram was even like previous to where, say, TikTok is now in terms of just the sheer scale of what was going on. I was thinking back more to like, this is actually one that I mean, has made my life better too, but is like the introduction of like anti-spam legislation and like, and like limiting who you can market to and like who you can email specifically. And like, before that, it was just like, at all costs, get emails in your database, like slap them from wherever you can. And like, that was such a bad way to market when you think of it. It was just like a numbers game. These people didn't even want to hear from you. And like, you'd have this email database, right? It was nuts.
It sounds like in a decade or so, you're going to be able to look at like, here are the chapters of digital marketing and what was acceptable and what was doable, from like social to landing pages to email marketing. I miss those days because there's a lot to gain from it. But like you said, it was nuts, and it was just, everyone was just rushing to it. It was like the gold rush. I'd love to kind of flip this into our speed question round here, if that's all right.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, awesome. Deal. So for these questions, don't worry about the length of the answer. They can be one word to one paragraph to another 10 minutes if you want, talk about it. But the first and best answer is usually the one that comes to your mind, and it gives our audience a way to kind of get to know you a little bit better. So
sounds good.
Okay, awesome. What was your first job? ever.
My first
under the table, over the table, doesn't matter.
My first job, I had two newspaper routes, and ooh, my first non-kid job, I would say, was like working at a Radio Shack in Coquitlam.
No way! Oh, no way! That's awesome. Were they those real estate newspapers that you were delivering?
They were. It was like community newspapers. It was like the Tri-City News or something like that. Yeah.
2 cents a newspaper or something like that.
You got it. Yep.
Yeah. Night owl or early bird? Which one are you?
Oh, early bird. Listen, my dog is unfortunately on the same alarm clock as I am. So even on the weekends, I'm up at 6.
Oh, look at this guy. He's like putting in time right now. I'm not going to ask if you're a cat or dog person, because that's obvious. What was the first thing you ever marketed? Doesn't have to be a real job. Could be for a friend, could be in university or in high school. What was the first thing you actually ever marketed?
The first real job thing I ever marketed was like health food for pets, which is super random, but it was like some contract work that I got right out of university. The first ever thing I marketed was me and my neighbors put together like a little community newsletter when I was like, I must have been like 10 or 11 years old. And then we like went door to door trying to sell it. But unlike newspapers, people weren't willing to pay for it, I guess.
Oh, you were hustling back then too.
Always hustling.
Is there a charity that you support financially or with your time?
The last charity I supported was the Canada-Ukraine Foundation. So nice. I've got some distant relatives who live in Western Ukraine. So it's, you know, obviously I've been following the invasion of Ukraine with some concern. So I donated to this fund, which was collecting funds for humanitarian assistance for the civilians who got trapped there.
Good for you. I'm not going to ask this podcast question because you already plugged it great.
Always hustling.
This is a fun one. What's a life hack you'd be willing to share with our listeners?
Ooh, okay. Something that worked well for me was, funnily enough, I gave up caffeine in the mornings. I love coffee. Okay. So I'm a huge coffee fan, but, I've switched to decaf espresso, so it feels like I'm getting the jolt. It like tastes the same.
Okay.
Hear me out. It's a little harder than life was pre-caffeine, but I find I don't get those afternoon crashes, or even worse, like having another shot of espresso at 2 p.m.
That's what I'm doing right
up all
now.
Night. Oh man, better you than me. That's all I gotta say. But then, yeah. So I tried it. I think I read about it, or like I heard it on the Huberman Lab podcast or something about like getting your circadian rhythm synced back up. And I was like, I'm going to give this a try. It was rough for a couple of weeks, but yeah, now I find I come up to speed normally in the morning and I don't crash in the afternoon.
I've been, that's great to hear. I've been having, I started AG1 started AG1 a couple months ago, and I felt like it replaced my caffeine need, but now I'm back on just cause I like coffee.
That's the thing. Well, also, I mean, being in Vancouver, it's like, there's so many good coffee shops to choose from. Like,
yeah, I think I might give the decaffeinated a try, like what you're saying here. Cause I think I just like the flavor.
Started on a Friday and then started on a Friday and then you'll have acclimated a little bit at least by the next week.
Thanks for the heads up. I really appreciate your time. I know you're probably coming to me on your lunch break right now, but I really appreciate the time that you've taken. It was really interesting to get to learn about your background, and especially that of e-commerce, A/B testing, and love that you're a Vancouver man yourself, just like me. So it was great to learn about you and about what you do.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me, Daryl. I appreciate it.
Awesome. All right. Take care, man.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio. Thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.